349, there shall be showers of blessing. I hear we're going to get that this week coming up, so. All right, we'll stand and sing 349. First, second, and last. Let it be known by a raised hand. The Lord knows all about it, and thank God he does. All right, Brother Bill, you lead us in prayer.
Thank you for the privilege to be in my house today. Lord, thank you for the people today, Lord. I pray that you bless this time that we share together. Bless me. Lord, more as you preach as you find. Pray that the message will hold something special for all of us, the Father. Each individual, the Father, will get something that they can serve you better with, the Father, that they can apply to our hearts. That you bless all the singing that takes place today, dear Lord. We want to go on to get the prayer request, dear God. I pray that you bless each and every one. Glory to you, Jesus, Lord. Dear Father, we're thankful for what you do for us in Christ's name.
Amen. You may be seated. Pray for the choir.
Choir number two. In your old folder, number two. This is just what heaven means to me. Number two.
Oh, I'm coming to you.
singing today. Let's take our red books, turn to 485. Our prayer should be, Lord, revive us again. 485, we'll sing the first and second fellowship and come back on the last. 485.
Thank you. cleaning the church, somebody can get it. All right, that's a good job right there. I appreciate everybody sharing and giving for our building fund offering. All right, not take it for granted either. You're singing, or you don't want to miss a thing in preaching this morning. One or the other. The latter. All right, you come sing for us, sister.
Precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over. Till the thunder sounds no more. Till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore. In that land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
All right, thank you, ladies, for that good message and song. Turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis, the 13th chapter. Genesis 13. I've been speaking on the subject of Abraham. Last week, we talked about Abram's wife, Sarai, and I brought a message on the subject, Mother of the Year, which is a facetious title because there was some tremendous conflict there, and the conflict came from not trusting and believing God. When you run ahead of the things of God, no telling what'll happen. But we dealt with that. But prior to that, we talked about for 2 weeks, actually 3 weeks, Abram and some things about his life and compared it to the life of a believer such as yourself and myself. Abram, we looked at the walk of a believer. That's the very first thing we looked at. We covered that for 2 Sundays. And then we talked about the failure of a believer, that sometimes that does happen. We let the Lord down. We let ourselves down. But the Lord is there with forgiveness, and thank God He is. Now we want to look at the character of a believer. We're going to look in chapter 13. We're going to begin reading with verse number 5. And we're going to see he's been noticed. Now he is going to bring up kind of a front and center thing. And his name is Lot. Verse 5 of chapter 13. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled there in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdsmen, my herdsmen, and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts and minister to us through thy word today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The character of a believer. Now, what does it mean? Some people are characters, but that's not what we're talking about here. Someone has said and defined two words thusly. Someone has defined the word reputation as being what men think you are. Character is what God knows you are. Think about those two statements. People look at people of business and think, oh, what an honorable, outstanding businessman Mr. So-and-so is. And then it's found out that he's been embezzling the books. You could take that many times over. But the bottom line is, nobody knows the human heart. I think about this case, the Hughley case, the lacrosse players, and Mr. Hughley has been accused of murdering his girlfriend. And if you look at the pictures of those two young people on the news, they seem like just very nearly perfect people. Very athletic, he was very handsome, she was very beautiful. And hard to believe that something that looked like a storybook romance, if you will, ended in tragedy and death and murder. You don't know the heart. I don't know the heart. And things like that happen. Reputation is what men think you are. Character is what God knows you are. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said this, the test of a man's character is what it takes to stop him. You will find out what you're made of when you find out what stops you. One thing about there are people who claim to be Christians and they'll go for a little while and then they'll quit. And they'll quit church and they'll quit going to the things of the Lord. And they'll quit reading their Bibles and things like that. And is that what it takes to quit? Is that the end of your character? Because character is what you are down deep. Someone said that character is what you are when nobody else is watching. Some of you remember the old Candid Camera TV show. Boy, I'll tell you what, they used to catch people in some strange situations. And it's very interesting what you find when nobody thinks they're looking. I saw one episode of one of the updated ones some many years ago in which they take different people into a room to supposedly be interviewed for a job. And they put on the table, not super conspicuously, but on the table, they put a $100 bill. And the purpose was to see if the person would leave the $100 bill or, since they thought nobody was watching, pick it up and put it in their pocket and then claim ignorance. I wonder how many people do that sort of thing. See, that's your character. That's your character. Character's not what people think you are, it's what God knows you and I are. And interwoven within these verses, we find the true character of two different men, Lot and Abram. We note in the case studies of these men's characters one noteworthy factor, that the more worldly Lot becomes, the more godly Abraham or Abram becomes. From Abram's departure from Egypt, which is a type of the world, two possessions which he obtained while living there proved him great heartache in the days and years to come. One was his own riches. Number two was a woman named Hagar and her child Ishmael. And these decisions that he made in his life caused him great heartache. He is with Lot. Lot has come with him, as you know, and they've left Ur of the Chaldees. And now we're beginning to see, we have seen Lot mentioned by name, but now we're beginning to see Lot and who Lot really is. It all begins with some fighting that takes place, because there is a blessing that's taking place, and that is the fact that both Lot and Abram's cattle are increasing. What they have, their possessions, are growing. They have honored God, and things are getting better for them materially and financially and on down the line. But the only problem is that there is now a fight going on, and the herdsman of one camp decides they don't want the cattle from the other side to get in their way. So it's like, okay, they get into a brawl, they get into a fight. And they fight there outside, and this thing's getting bad, and they're coming back and telling their bosses and saying, you know, I can't take it anymore, because Lot's people come over here and they start taunting us, and we're getting our cattle mixed up, and they don't want to do this, and I just had all I could take, and I just decked the guy, and we just been out rolling all over that place and fighting and fussing and feuding, and finally it just got so bad that decisions had to be made. Let me share with you some things about Abram's spirit or attitude. First of all, I want you to see that he possessed a condescending attitude or spirit. Abram condescended to Lot. He went to Lot and he talked to Lot and he said, now Lot, here's where we are. Your men and my men are fighting. And this is not so. This ought not be so. We're family. We're kin. And this just can't happen like this. We just can't have all this fussing and fighting and feuding going on. So we need to divide. We need to make a decision here. And you need to go one way, and I need to go the other way. And we've got to decide which way we're going to go. So Abram condescends to Lot. Although he was not necessarily wrong, he went ahead and gave the benefit of the doubt. Now, when you and I live in our daily lives and our daily walk, do you in your daily time of your job or maybe with family, friends, or relatives, do you find yourself on the spot in such a way that maybe somebody accuses you of doing something that you're innocent of? I think that happens more than we would like to think. Now, how do we react to this? If there were something that took place, and I could use an example, say, Brother Bill and I had a misunderstanding, and Brother Bill was adamant the fact and said, now the preacher said this or did this or whatever, and then I'm thinking, now wait a minute, Brother Bill, you're forgetting this, this, and this. What's the attitude that should prevail in that kind of a conflict? There should be a condescending spirit, because the Bible talks about the fact that a brother offended is hard to be won. And if you are trying to get along, then there's got to be some times where you have a condescending spirit, where you back off, and no matter what they say, you keep your mouth shut. And I'm telling you, there are times where I have bit my tongue so much I about bit it off. Because the question is, do I want to pursue or try to have a working relationship with someone, or am I going to say something that more than likely is going to drive a wedge and cease a relationship? I told someone just recently, there are times where someone came to me and said, preacher, what about this? I've got to handle a situation. I don't know how to do it. And I said, what you better do, first of all, is you better bathe it in prayer. I said, pray, 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 and pray. And then when you're done praying, pray again. Then pray that God will work in the heart of the person to whom you got to go to, and pray that God will get their heart. Because if their heart's not ready, you're going to have a major knockdown drag out before it's over.
So we need to pray, God, prepare the heart of the person to whom I need to speak. And you may have to have a condescending spirit. You may have to take a lower place. You may have to take a place of humility. There are times where I've actually said to myself, you know, I don't think I need to go through a situation where I am humiliated. And then the first thing that the Holy Ghost of God does in my heart, He'll say, but who are you compared to my son? Because who would be more humiliated than Jesus when they stripped Him of His clothes and hung Him naked on the cross? That's humiliation. And you and I haven't had to go through that. We've gone through humiliation, but nothing like that. Not to where we were beaten with a cat of nine tails and bloodied up and crown of thorns smashed upon our head and our head swollen 3 and 4 times and all of those things. And then they gambled for a spotless, seamless robe and all of those things. No, that's humiliation. You and I don't know what humiliation really is unless you compare yourself to Jesus. And so He condescended. Why did He do this? Because He felt like it was the right thing to do. Understand that when you have a conflict with someone, this is where we are. We have to look. If you want to have a fight, there are some things you understand about fighting. Number one, if you perceive that you're going to have a fight, understand something. Understand that there will be dust. You know what I mean? There's going to be some. It's going to get dirty. But my question is, when the smoke clears, what's left? When the smoke clears, what do you have left over? Most of the time, after the smoke clears, you're not going to have much left when the fight's done. It's funny when you watch some of these movies and all, and these. For instance, do you ever watch that show Walker, Texas Ranger with, you know, Chuck Norris? I want to know how many times you can get kicked in the face with a boot and not have a scratch. Jaws should be broken. Noses should be bloodied. And did you notice the hats never come off? I'd like to know how you do that. Because most people, when they get into a fight, there will be a broken nose, a cracked rib, torn clothes, hair probably coming out by the handful, and all that's the real world. But then you look at the TV and you look at the movies and they stage all this stuff, and nobody looks worse for the wear. Okay? When the smoke clears, what's left? Was it worth having the knockdown drag out? And I would submit to you 9 times out of 10, it probably was not worth it. Okay. You say, well, when does a person fight? You fight over things like Bible doctrine.
The doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ, these are things you fight for, But if you have to bite your tongue and have a condescending spirit, then you might just have to do that. Because that's what Abram did. He believed he was doing the right thing. He condescended to Lot, although he did not necessarily, though he was not necessarily right, though he believed he was doing the right thing, and then he knew the consequences. What were the consequences? Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I do not understand, but there's something about some people that have this, and I see it especially in young people. They like to stir things up. They like to get something going. I think that one of the dumbest things on television are what they call reality shows. They're not. You're going to do all the things with a camera right there. And the camera is there to get you upset, and they say, now stir this thing up. And it's like, because they think it's going to be ratings. That's not reality. If you have to be stirred up, and if you're getting paid money to fight,
argue and do all of that stuff, that is not right. That's not even there. The Bible talks about the fact, again, Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And when somebody, always remember, it takes two people to fight. And if somebody comes after you and they want to start something, if you back off, they can't fight something that's not fighting back. Here is a man that knows there's friction going on, there's fighting going on between his herdsmen. So now what am I going to do about it? And the best thing to do is we need to divide and we need to separate and we need to do so amicably. We need to do so to where there is peace between us. And sometimes that's the way it has to go. And then he did this because he strove to keep his testimony. Notice in verse 7. Notice verse 7. There's a little statement. You may have wondered why it's there. It says this: the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell then in the land. What's that got to do with anything? Here's what it's got to do with it. Who's watching the fight? These people, the Perizzites and the Canaanites, they're watching the fight. And they're saying, boy, will you see those people? You know those new people over there? I think I think his name's Abram, and he's got a nephew. Like, boy, they're having it out, boy. Come on over. Let's get a seat. Let's watch them. They're going to have a knockdown, drag out, hair pulling, eye gouging, nose bleeding, man, rib breaking, good old Donnybrook. Boy, isn't that great? I'm glad I'm not with that outfit. Isn't it sad when you try to witness to people and try to talk to them about the things of the Lord and they say, well, now I tell you, I used to be a Christian, or I used to be a Baptist, or I used to be a Methodist, or I used to be a Presbyterian, but boy, I tell you, we had so many fights in that church, man, I swore I'd never go back. Tons of people out there like that, isn't it? People don't understand that the Perizzites and the Canaanites are watching. I don't understand how people can go into Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and Islam. I don't understand it until I hear them say, well, I used to be this and I used to be that and I had bad experiences and yada, 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 and they've looked for something else and unfortunately found something in the heresies. That's a tragedy. That's a black eye to the Church of Jesus Christ. Canaanite and the Perizzites dwell in that. They watched, they saw. As enemies, the fighting might lead to overtaking. As neighbors, the religion of Judah was mocked, and because of its unscriptural stand for unbelievers to fight among themselves, the Bible talks about the fact that we should be reasonable, rational men and women, not children and babies. And we should understand that we are all kindred, physically and spiritually, and therefore, because of that, we should be able to get along. So Abram not only is condescending as a believer to another man, but also he is a picture of Jesus Christ who condescended to this earth for man's sins. I said just a few moments ago, talking about the humiliation of Christ, who in the world but the Son of God would experience the kind of suffering, the kind of beating, the kind of ordeal that he went through for your sins and mine. He condescended, he came down from the glories of heaven and died on the cross for you and for me. So he possessed a condescending spirit. He humbled himself. The Bible says that Jesus, in the book of Philippians, that he humbled himself and he took upon himself the form of a servant. He didn't have to do that, but he did. Not only did Abram possess a spirit of condescension, but then he also possessed a divisive spirit. But divisive in a right way, look at verse number 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right, and if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plains of Jordan. Now, Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 asks a question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? answer to that is nothing. You can, if you don't get along with somebody, you can't walk together, you don't want to walk together, and you don't want to see the person that you are having problems with. And if you know somebody that is divisive, then you know what the Bible says? The Bible says to separate yourself from a divisive person. Why? Because that division will erode you. Seen it many times. Where people have, I can think of a gentleman right to this day that has been in 13 different churches in two counties. And has something to say about every one of the churches he's ever been a member of. Now, can I say this? It can't be the fault of 13 churches. But if somebody will not admit that they have a problem, then guess what? There will be a 14th church. People like that, however, like to cause strife and division. And when they do, then they back away after they've done their job. And then they like to see others fuss and fight and act like they haven't done anything wrong. It's like, wow, how'd that happen? But they're the ones that drove the wedge to start the trouble. Here, Abram is using wisdom. Abram decided the best way to remain friends was to separate. As I said, how do you handle situations? How do you handle quarrels and arguments? Do not quarrel to begin with. It's a good principle. If quarrels occur, mediate quickly. Ephesians 4:26, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Why? Because you will go from a period of being upset to a period of becoming bitter. And the harder it takes and the longer it takes to make restitution if you wait. Because you get to harbor it, run it through your brain, and then you get angry and mad and cynical, and it's like get it done and get it settled quickly. Broken fellowship can result in continual grieving because of pride. I didn't do anything wrong, therefore I don't have to go to that person. Not my fault. And the whole time something's brewing. And it's like a coldness. And when the two people meet, it's like walking on eggshells. Because broken fellowship has transpired. Abram said, I don't want that. We need to separate. For the sake of our family, for the sake of our friendship, we need to separate. Then not only did he possess a divisive spirit and a condescending spirit, but then he also possessed a giving spirit, because in verse number 9 he had property, and he said, I want you to look at the property and I want you to pick what you want. Boy, what a spirit. You're talking bucks. You're talking money. And he's going to give it. Now, let's look at the mistakes that Lot is making. The Bible tells us, first of all, that he preferred the well-watered plains of Sodom to Abraham's altar. Okay, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. One direction pointed to Sodom, and the Bible says that the plains of Sodom were wonderful and beautiful and spacious and green. And then there was the area in which we talked about that Abram went and had an altar built and worshiped God. And when Lot had the choice, he chose the well-watered plains of Sodom. I wonder if you could have at night heard the stuff that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. I think so. I think as they sat in their tents, they could listen to the hoopla and the partying and the carousing and everything that was going on down in Sodom and Gomorrah. I bet you Lot and his herdsmen were there, and they said, doesn't that sound like fun? Boy, I sure would like to go down there. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Then the day came and he had a choice. What was his choice? He said, I will pitch my tent towards Sodom. Isn't it interesting that here in this chapter, he pitched his tent towards Sodom, but then he went on down a few chapters to the 19th chapter and he was in Sodom? And not only was he in Sodom, guess what? Sodom was in Egypt. I'm going to take just a few minutes and I'm going to ride a hobby horse really well. Because I'm very upset with the reaction of some people who claim to be tolerant. And last Tuesday, when this thing came out, the other Tuesday, when the thing came out of North Carolina, when they accepted at a very overwhelming, I'm thankful to say, margin about accepting the traditional nuclear home of a man and a woman, I am amazed at how we have been called intolerant by the gays and all of those outfit, the liberals, and yet when the state of North Carolina definitely came out with their stand, now everybody goes bonkers. I really noticed it on Facebook with two different accounts. One was Bethany's. I don't know if some of you read hers. And the other was Brother Clint Connors. And Bethany made a statement, and her statement was basically she was glad that North Carolina had come through and taken the stand, and that's all she said. And I could not believe the barrage that happened from that. Something like 27 to 30 different comments came through where people, I mean defiantly, now all she said was she was glad North Carolina had taken a stand with the legislature, and I saw stuff on there blew me away. There was a student that I used to teach. Did you teach him? That went to Westover. We both taught him. And he was on there and he was talking about how sad he was that Bethany had taken the stand that she had taken. Now he did graduate. Didn't he graduate from there? Graduate from a Christian school now. And he was defending. He's talking about, well, where in the world do you think that the government is to legislate what marriage is? Well, the government doesn't, but this does. And he went on and went on, and some others got on there, and I couldn't believe some of that stuff. And then I went on, I made one comment. I said, what people think is irrelevant. I said, what matters is what the Bible says. And I said, God has yet never repented of what he did in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what that boy came back and did? He came right back on mine and he said, Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction had nothing to do with homosexuality. And I'm like, what did it have to do with? Young man that I told you that I had mentored to work with, his name is Sterling Smith, and he lives in Rocky Mountain. He brought up another one, and his got to going too, and there was a young lady that got on there, and oh my goodness, the language she used in referring to God should not be allowed on Facebook. I mean, she said to God, I just say the letter F, and then she got talking about how, oh, she'd been in church and she'd been so hurt in church and yada, yada, yada and all that stuff. And you've heard that story. So many of us in here, we follow the professional wrestling thing, or at least we used to. And the one that really got on my bandwagon was where this professional wrestler, CM Punk, when that thing passed, because they had done it to me in Greensboro. Johnny Kelly gone down that night and watched him. Well, the next day, you know, was North Carolina when they did the vote. And then he goes on Twitter, CM Punk does, and he said that you and I who believe in traditional family values and husband, he made the statement on Twitter. He said, you need to go kill yourselves by drinking bleach. I traced that blog and I put on a comment myself. I said, Mr. CM Punk needs to come to the realization, who pays his salary? I said, the very people that he's telling to kill themselves and drink bleach are the ones that buy tickets to watch him wrestle. And I said, Mr. Punk needs to make a formal apology whether he means it or not. And I'm thinking, who's intolerant? Here's a man that saw the lights and saw the glamour and saw all the things that Sodom and Gomorrah held, and I don't think he probably hesitated one iota. He said, I'm taking this direction. You wonder what that direction cost him? Read the 19th chapter of Genesis, you'll see. He lost his two daughters and his own wife, pillar of salt. Lot preferred the well-watered plains of Sodom instead of the place where his uncle had gone to pray. Obviously, there wasn't when Abram went to go pray and to build an altar, you can't find any place in the Bible that said Lot built an altar to pray. Because Lot was a man who sowed to the flesh, reaped his corruption, and wanted the best of both worlds, but in reality he lost the best of both worlds. His life ended in misery, stripped of everything that he had. So look at the lack of character that Lot had. Man, here was a man named Abram who was a man of solid character. He could have said, I'm older than you are, therefore I will take the plains that lead to Sodom because I will not go to Sodom, but I will stay where I'm supposed to stay. And he would have been within his right to do so because he was the elder statesman. But guess what? He deferred and he said, all right, you have what you want to, Lot. What a gracious person Abram was. He had character. Did Lot have character? No, because he had no unwilling. Did you notice what he never said? Lot did not say, Uncle, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity, but I will give you the best of the property. No, he didn't. He said, all right, that's what I want. I want the best. You can have the leftovers, Unc. What a sweetheart. Then he had no generosity to offer a choice back. He said, he didn't say, oh, Uncle, I sure do appreciate that, but because you are my elder statesman, you are my uncle, and I show you respect, let me give you the choice back. He didn't do that either. He snatched it up and ran. This revealed his rudeness and selfishness. Fourthly, he had no thought for the type of people that he would live with. He just heard. The Bible talks about living with the pleasures of sin for a season. Now I'm going to go back and pick on this, and I've already opened this can of worms, so I'm going to go ahead and drive it a little farther in. If you want to read an interesting book, read the book by Dr. Tim LaHaye entitled Everything You Want to Know About Homosexuality But Was Afraid to Ask. When you look at television and movies and all this stuff, they paint a picture of homosexuals as being happy, hence the word gay. Do you know that one of the highest suicide rates, according to statistics, are male homosexuals they call queens? And do you know why there's such a high suicide rate? Because number one, as we well know, God created Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. We also know that biologically, Adam and Steve cannot have children. Duh. But then also, here's Adam and Eve who have, Adam and Eve have a tie together. That was Cain and Abel, and then also Seth. Children have a way of bringing a glue to a marriage. But if you don't have a glue to the marriage, as Adam and Steve don't have a glue to the marriage, guess what happens? Adam gets tired of Steve and walks out. And when you're 70 years old and you have no family, you have a 70-year-old Steve and 69-year-old Adam walks out on him. Guess what? 70-year-old Steve's got nothing now to do but think. You know what he's thinking about? He has nothing to show for his life. And what's left? Suicide. You will not see that in the papers because they bury that story. But if you read that book that I told you, get that little book by Dr. Tim LaHaye, the statistics are unbelievable. Why? Because you can't go against God's law and have happiness. You can't. Now, if I look over here at Lot's life, what did Lot have in the end of his days? He had grandchildren. But you know how he got them. Incest, drunkenness, his wife has been turned to a pillar of salt, and his two daughters' sons, or his sons-in-law, if you will, stayed and were destroyed in Sodom. And what? He has no home. He has nothing but reproach and sin. Now look over at Abraham. Abraham will eventually have a great nation by the nation of Israel, and Abram's name will be called blessed. No matter how discouraging, and it does get discouraging. It gets very discouraging in this Christian walk, but let me tell you something. And sometimes you feel like, and you want to say, man, Lord, I've played the game right. I've kept the rules. I've done everything, but it just seems like I get beat down and beat down and beat down. But the only thing that I've got to keep me going is to realize that if I do right, God's going to honor doing right. And it may not be, old Dr. R.G. Lee says it, payday may not be today, but payday will come someday. It's the only thing sometimes that keeps you going. Because you listen to the Sodomites and you listen to Sodom and Gomorrah and they're partying and they're having a happy old good time and they got money to blow and they've got all that other stuff, and then it's like, man, what have I got? I'm struggling to keep my nose above water. And they're all so happy and talking about how wonderful and great it is to be able to have this and have this and have this. But payday will come someday. You say, how do you know, preacher? I have to believe it. It's taught in the book. It's the only thing that's going to keep me going. Because I'll tell you something about the world. If the world has its say, it'll take their foot, put it on your throat, and crush your throat if they possibly can. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. If this is all I got, I ain't got much. But I've got to have something to believe in. And that's where the book comes in. What was the reward for Abram? Much joy, many blessings, and a new nation. Whew. I think what's so interesting at the beginning of Lot's destruction, here's where it began. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. That's where it started. He hadn't even got to Sodom. He just moved it closer to Sodom. Watch out how close you get to Sodom. You better not put those stakes too far down in the ground the closer you get to Sodom. You better pull that stake up and you better run as fast as you can and get as far away from Sodom as you possibly can. Because if not, it's sure destruction. Two men. Character. One man had character. Man, what's character, preacher? Character's doing right when it's right to do right. That's character. Character is what you do when nobody else sees you. That's character. Character is doing right no matter what the odds are of how you may fail. That's character. Lack of character. Lot represented a lack of character. He had none. And the end result of his life was destruction. May it be our prayer that God would help us to develop and let Him develop in our lives a life of character. Do right, Dr. Jones said, do right though the stars fall. Do right. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll be with us, and I pray that you'll teach us this thing about character. Help us to be men and women that would ask you to teach us about character and to have a biblically based character. Lord, help us do right. Admonition of Dr. Bob Sr. Do right, though the stars fall, do right. Help us to do right. And I pray that you'll minister to our hearts today. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number?
Number 246, softly and tenderly.
As we stand. Receive the morning tithes and offerings. We received a check in the mail, Miss Irma, Miss Aileen Freeman, okay. And so she sent an offering in memory of Brother Junior. So I wanted to share that with you, so appreciate that. And so keep tonight, Brother Taylor will be here preaching. We'll be leaving pretty close right after the dismissal, so we can get to graduation services at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So you be here this evening if you're able, and support Brother Taylor and pray for him as he brings the word of the Lord. Party time. Come join the fun. There'll be cake. Amen. Come have some ice cream too. Thank you. Caleb's third birthday party will be Saturday, May 26th, 12 to 3 at Faith Baptist. And if you're going to try to come, be sure and let Brother Joey's Miss Pam know about that. Okay? Anything else we need to announce about that, brother? Okay. All righty. Miss Caleb today. And I told him when we had our morning prayer, I was waiting for somebody to say amen after I finished praying, and it wasn't there. All right. Any announcements need to make? Don't want to miss anything. All right. Brother Joey, just lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and your blessings on us. Pray that you bless the offering and give it one of the hymn that you might be used for your honor and glory in Christ's name.
Amen.
Have a great day.